Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name's Leanne McAllister, and I serve as part of the teaching team here at Living Waters. And I am delighted to start our Advent series, which is that will be completed before Christmas. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we orient our hearts towards you right now. We believe in faith that you have something for each of us. You don't look at us like a big group of people, but you actually look at us as individuals, individuals with concrete realities in our lives. And we just believe that you want to speak to those things. So God, would you reduce the clutter in our lives and our hearts and the noise? Turn down the volume on noise. And as you speak, may we really hear you. Give us that grace this morning to hear you. In your precious name, amen. So my husband Darcy and I travel a lot for our work. He's actually in Montreal this morning. He's about to board a plane to come back to me this evening. But we work internationally with Canadians that live and serve overseas. And we also travel in Canada working to inspire Canadians to God at work around the globe and you know, inviting them to participate with his work. And so it's a pretty amazing gig, I got to tell you that. I love to travel. I love experiencing different cultures. I'm always up for an adventure. But I noticed a subtle shift in me this September, actually. It was September, and I was in Newfoundland. I was there alone. Usually Darcy's traveling with me, but I was there alone, and I was speaking at a conference, and I loved it. It was actually my second time in Newfoundland this year. Newfoundlanders are warm and generous and open, and if you ever want to experience that, just spend some time with our own resident Newfoundlander, which is Mike Vaders. But I was enjoying my time there, and at no point in the weekend was I wishing I was somewhere else, which sometimes happens when you travel. But I felt this need to cocoon away. I felt this need to find space for myself. Has anybody been there? Yeah, it reminds me actually of last Christmas when, now you have to, if you know my husband, he is a throw the doors wide open, come on over, yes, there's room for four more. That's kind of how he goes through life. And so he planned a Christmas party, I think when I wasn't watching. And the next thing I know, I have, and I'm not even exaggerating, I have 50 people in my house for a party. I at one point in the party, actually left, and I slipped upstairs to my bedroom, and I watched an episode of House Hunters International. I'm not lying. I'm like, okay, you know, and I didn't get under the covers. I mean, seriously, I'm way better than that. But you know, and then I tumbled back down the steps and realized that no one had noticed I was gone. So back to Newfoundland. So on my breaks, I would go back to my room and I would watch YouTube videos. Now, not just any YouTube videos, but videos of people cleaning their houses. Did you know that you can do this? Just Google clean with me, and it will open a brand new world to you. And I feel very judged by you, Luke Knight. But here's the thing. You can watch people vacuum. You can watch people organize their closets. You can watch people dust. You too can do this. Okay. Now, admittedly, when I was doing this, I know it was a little bit weird. I was watching myself going, wow, that's weird. But what it did was it got me curious. Like, what was going on with me? I realized actually that I was homesick. Because we have had such a busy travel year this past year, and I was longing for my comfy chair. I wanted to put my sweatpants on with the big elastic. I was longing to reach into my fridge and pull out the food that I had chosen. I was longing for my fireplace with my dog sleeping on my legs. And yes, I was longing for my remote. I wanted to hang out with my people. The Newfoundlanders were great, but I was ready to be where I belonged. See, I wanted to go home. Home and Christmas are tied tightly together. You just have to listen to the music in December, and there's songs like I'll Be Home for Christmas and There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Most people experience a draw to home at this time of the year. I mean, what's the question that we ask one another throughout this month is, are you heading home for Christmas? Or if you're an old lady like me, they ask, are your kids coming home? This week I asked friends this question. What does home mean to you? One person said, home is where the Wi-Fi connects automatically. And I thought, yes, it's true. Home is where it recognizes your devices and you don't have to put in the password, right? I've got three kids. They're all adults now. They're all married. And when they come into my house, I love it because where do they go? They head straight to my cupboards and they open my fridge, and really it's very disappointing. But why do they do that? They do it because they're home. The person went on to say, home is the place you can fully be. You're not having to entertain or be entertained. You just get to enjoy being. Another said, home is my nest. It's welcoming and warmth and safety and relationships, connections, a place to be loved and a place to love, a cozy place to rest, a place to share life in all its fullness, the good and the bad and even the ugly in a transparent and authentic way, a place I share with the ones I love most. Another said, home ideally means a place where you're known, a place where you feel loved and accepted, delighted in and appreciated, where you belong and where you play a role. Now, another friend sent me this. Growing up, Leanne, home wasn't a safe place to be the individual God created me to be. Home was a place where I never felt settled, relaxed, warm, nor enveloped. I think it's really important for us to remember that home can be really, really complicated for many of us. The themes that I saw in my mini survey this week were that home is about being known, accepted, connected, and it's certainly not about performing, but it's a place where we can just be, and therefore we can rest. We were made for home. If we look back to Genesis, the creation story, God made Adam and Eve a home. He placed them in a garden, a place where they were known and accepted, and they enjoyed this incredible connection with one another, and they walked with God. And there was no striving, there was no shame, there was just rest because they dwelt with God. Now, as we follow the story, we see that the original plan for Adam and Eve, which was really the plan for us as well, that plan was interrupted, and Adam and Eve essentially chose their own way. They saying, you know, God's holding out on us. God isn't telling us the whole truth. We can actually be like God. We can be in charge of our own destiny. And so the consequences of their choice were immediate and devastating. And the intimacy that they had enjoyed with God and with each other was severely hindered. They lost their home. See, I think we've been searching for home ever since. And our search takes us down all sorts of paths. Some paths are benign, but some are downright soul damaging. There's a great quote that's been attributed to a variety of writers, including Chesterton and Lewis and St. Francis. And the jury is still out who actually said it, but the quote is this: the young man who rings the bell at the brothel is unconsciously looking for God. So good. See, many of the activities that we engage in are an effort to find our home. Now, because of my travel, I've seen the sex trade all over the world. And I remember in the early days of my travel, being so disgusted by Western men in Southeast Asia, particularly those involved in sex tourism activities. And I remember I would stand in complete judgment of these men. I would look for their eyes in the streets when I would see them, because I wanted them to make contact with me, because I wanted to let them know, I saw you, I know what you're doing, and it's disgusting. And I'll never forget one day being in Chiang Mai, Thailand, when I saw a man who was in this activity, and there was something in that day where God opened my eyes to see him differently. Yes, he was victimizing, but he was also a victim in this whole broken down scenario because he was broken. He was trying to get legitimate needs met in illegitimate ways. See, this man was unconsciously looking for God. Whether he knew it or not, he was looking for God. Now, before we get up on our high horse and go, sex tourism. Before we go there, let's think about the things that we engage in. When we're stressed and the cake in the fridge calls to us, does cake ever call to you? Does it know your name? And we might, if we're really honest with ourselves, we're not hungry. Yet there's something in us, the rumble. Something in us that wants to be fed. And we think if we eat it, we're just going to feel better. Or how about when we buy stuff, getting that little thrill as we hold something shiny and junky in our hands, knowing full well that it's going to be at Goodwill in about 2 years. But anyway, the thrill fades before we even get the bill in the mail. Or how about when we lean on alcohol a little more than we care to admit? Now, I'm a non-drinker, and there's reasons that I have that set up in my life. But I get concerned because I notice that wine is actually being marketed to women as a way to escape. There are some bloggers that call wine their mummy juice, which concerns me. That somehow that this substance is an aid to help women cope with the stresses of balancing it all between parenting and work. Women are in need in that area. Or how about when we work ourselves into the ground, when we're striving to achieve and to prove ourselves, and sometimes we don't even know why we're being driven, to satisfy a world that's constantly moving the finish line. See, all of this, and it's you, and it's me, and it's your neighbor, all of this is just us in our fumbling way trying to meet our needs. I want you to know, and if you're going to take anything away from this, I want you to know that you have legitimate needs. But often we try to meet them in really illegitimate ways. Now, St. Augustine said this, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." See, our heart is restless because we're homesick. We're homesick not necessarily for a physical space, but for a spiritual space, because we are made for home. We are made to dwell with God. And our series this month is called How God Came Home, an Advent Story. Now, home is rooted in the very heart of the biblical Christmas story. And we're going to see it throughout this season as we examine the text of John chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. And it says this, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. From his abundance, we have all received grace upon grace." So today we're going to focus on the first sentence, "So the Word became human and made his home among us." Now, I love this. It's this picture of God coming to us. And the language used here is actually very cool. It could be translated as Jesus dwelt as in a tent among us. Now, where have we seen a tent before in Scripture? Well, we saw it in Israel's early history. Israel had the tent of the tabernacle, and this tent was located right in the center of the camp. And it facilitated Israel's worship. It was where the law of Moses was contained. It was the place of revelation. It's where the sacrifices were made, and it contained the presence of God for Israel. It was a very sacred space. Now, you would look at the tabernacle. It was, you know, a bunch of animal skins on the outside. Nothing to look at on the outside, but you open the flap and look inside, and it was beautiful. So they would take this tent with them wherever God led them as they were heading through the desert and eventually as they went into the promised land, and they would take it with them because God's presence, they wanted his presence right there with them. And I find it so interesting because what were they doing on this journey? They were searching for home. Now, this tent was God's provision for them. Now, it was kind of inadequate. It was temporary. They would eventually set up a more permanent structure. But the important thing to note here is this. God's intention was to presence himself with them. And so with that backdrop, we can read John 1, and it suddenly becomes alive for us when John says, God came. And he pitched a tent right smack in the middle of us. See, John was making this connection. He was retelling Israel's story. He was saying, that same God that lived among Israel in the tent is now coming to humanity in the person of Jesus. And it's known as the incarnation. And the incarnation is the crux and the miracle of Christmas. That Jesus, fully God, a member of the Trinity, emptied himself and gave up all that was his position, his privilege, his power, all of it. And he took upon himself full humanity to live a truly human life. And you kind of go, why? Why did he do that? Well, ultimately, it was to serve us. One of the biggest privileges that Darcy and I have is to visit global workers around the world. We go and pop in on them and see how they're doing. We get to see where they live, where they shop. We check in on their children, how the education is going, how they're accessing medical care. We check in on their marriage. You know, we do all of these things to bring encouragement, but we also have our eyes wide open to see if there's any gaps within their lives that somehow we can come in with resources. It's such a privilege. But when we go, we already know these people. I mean, we spend a full year with them here in Canada as we prepare them for life overseas. And when they go, then they send us their newsletters. And I read the newsletters because I'm so interested in their lives and what's happening. I even follow them, a lot of them, on Facebook. And there's times where I can tell you exactly what they had for breakfast because they probably Instagrammed it for me, right? So I'm up to date with these people. I know these people. But nothing beats a home visit. See, it's one thing to know something and quite another thing to experience something. I remember visiting one of our workers who was living in Romania. And, you know, we were discussing what that day was going to be like. And she's like, well, I actually have to go down to a governmental office. I have a piece of paper that needs to be filed to move this file along and blah, blah, blah. You know, and she goes, she looked at me and she says, Leanne, bring a book. And I had no idea. We think Canada's inefficient and frustrating. I had no idea. She goes, Leanne, this is actually how I live a lot of my life. Waiting. And in frustration. See, I could read that in a newsletter, but there's something about actually coming alongside her and go, wow, this is really frustrating. See, when Jesus came to us, when he came into our world, He did that so he could experience what it meant and what it felt like to be human. He chose to identify with us. I mean, this is huge. And I tell you, this makes me feel valued that he came into my world, took some time, and looked around. And he left his usual place, and he accepted all the conditions of what it means to be human. And you know what it's to be human. You know what it's like. You know the fear. You know the frustration. You know the weakness. You know the temptations. You know grief. You know what it is to lose something. You know the rejection. You know the pain. And here's the thing. Jesus says, I want to actually enter into that and experience it as well. And I'm going to meet humanity there. I'm in a season of grief. And I take great comfort in the fact that Jesus knows loss. It's so funny. I've been playing with silence in my quiet times in the morning. And you can probably tell I'm a little bit chatty. So silence is difficult for me. And so there I was on Wednesday morning, and I'm just, you know, kind of bringing it all together, and I'm going to tell Jesus everything that's going on in my life and how I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by it right now. Thank you very much. And it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, I already know. Like that there's nothing you're going to tell me that I am unfamiliar with. I'm watching you. I'm with you as you try to navigate this season that you're in. And it was just the weirdest thing. I'm like, oh yeah, you know. I don't even actually have to explain anything to you right now. See, Jesus chose to identify with you. He knows your struggles. He knows what's going on with you, and I believe he became one of us so that he could communicate the message, the gospel, to us as one of us. It's a beautiful thing. He also came to show who he is. One of my favorite translations of this verse is from Eugene Peterson in the message where it says, "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I love that. Jesus moved in. God entered our lives in a way that he'd never done before, and it would never happen again. Now, Wednesdays in Walnut Grove, any Walnut Grovers out there, Wednesdays is what? Garbage day and recycling day. You know, you can actually tell a lot about people from what they put to the curb. You know, like, I'm not creepy or anything, but you know, when I'm walking past, I'm like, ooh, someone in that house is gluten-free. Oh, interesting. Oh, my goodness. Health kick happening here, you know. Or you go down and go, oh, unhealthy dependence on takeout. You need to look at that. Like, it's true. Proximity gives us lots of information, right? Proximity also gives us experience. So when Jesus moves into the neighborhood, it's like he comes up close and personal. And because of that, we can know who he is. Because before Jesus, if you wanted to know anything about God, there was a few ways. There was scripture, there was prophecies, and perhaps there was a theophany every now and again. But God wanted more. His revelation, he wanted it to be crystal clear. And so God was actually going to move into the neighborhood. He was going to walk around among us where he would be accessible. He would be touchable. He would be available. And that's what happened throughout Jesus' ministry. You want to know who God is? You look to Jesus. And he was a bit of a spectacle. He drew crowds. You can just imagine the people, you know, kind of muttering amongst themselves because they're watching someone who's orienting their lives in a totally different way by a totally different grid. So they might have said, who's this man that talks with suspicious women at noonday at the well? Who's this man that is welcoming children who aren't even considered fully human yet? Who is this man that doesn't seem at all concerned about impressing the powerful? In fact, it would seem he goes out of his way to agitate them. Who is this man? People could not watch him. They couldn't turn away because his priorities were radically different and it was challenging them. And I do believe that it was actually compelling because of all of the crowds. Jesus turned everything upside down. Said, everything you think is important isn't. See, Jesus was showing us how to live. He was showing us how to orient our lives. He was showing us how to be human. And the incarnation leads to some pretty soul-searching, uncomfortable questions where we need to ask ourselves what's important to us, what occupies our thoughts and our attention? How are we entering the neighborhood of those around us? Are we prioritizing the displaced, the marginalized, the poor? How are we spending our time? How are we spending our money? See, he was inviting us through the incarnation, showing us how to live. He was inviting us to be agents of his love for others. He wanted to show us exactly who God was. I'm so glad he did. Finally, Jesus made his home among us so that we could go home. Frederick Buechner says this, "Our stories are all stories of searching. We search for a good self to be and for good work to do. We search to become human in a world that tempts us always to be less than human or looks to us to be more. We search to love and to be loved. And in a world where it's often hard to believe in much of anything, we search to believe in something holy and beautiful and life transcending that will give meaning and purpose to the lives we live." Friends, the search is real. You know, people go on pilgrimages looking for God. Sometimes they'll do extreme things like crawling through streets or stepping across glass or they'll, you know, kind of sign up for ideologies that say, do this, 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 and then you may experience peace. You may experience joy. You may experience acceptance. But here's the thing. With Christ and the incarnation, it is all ready done. You don't have to look for him. He is there. And our deepest longings are met when we understand that and when we connect to him as our source. We don't have to live as if everything depends on us any longer. We don't have to hustle to make it happen. Instead, we come home where we're known and accepted, and we rest as we dwell with God. God with us. You know, Christ returned to the Father, but a monumental shift happened because he is still with us through his Spirit. Scripture says that those who belong to Christ are actually tabernacles of his presence. You are made to contain God's Spirit. Did you know that? And the longings and the hunger that you have are filled up with his presence. See, God is here. God is here. Emmanuel. And he brings encouragement when we feel discouraged. He brings correction. Oh, yes, he does, when we're veering off track, off of the path. He brings purpose as we understand who we are and what we're living for. He brings strength when we're holding on by our fingertips and it feels like our nails are going to come out. He brings comfort when our souls are depleted, and he brings hope because we can look at a messed up world and know that this is not as it will be. What an amazing source to be connected to. How might your life be different if you lived with the firm belief that He is with you. I'm going to challenge you throughout Advent. Try it. Remind yourself. Maybe set a little timer on your smartphone that dings at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. I don't know. But each morning and each evening, ask God for an increased awareness of His presence in your life. He moved into your space. He's there. Open your eyes to meet Him. Amen. I loved the song Victoria led us in, Christ be all around me, above, below, all around me. Perhaps you've been listening today and you're on a pilgrimage. You're like, yeah, I'm searching for God. And your own longings have led you down paths that aren't helpful, and there's something missing. And as you're listening to me talk, you realize you desire to open yourselves up to God in this way and experience this newness of life. Here's the thing. If I was to pass the mic around here, we'd have dozens and dozens and dozens of stories and testimonies of God meeting people where they were and transforming their lives through the power and the presence of Jesus. That can be for you as well. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God because God is here. He wants to be connected to you. This could be a life-changing day for you. So in a moment, I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes and bow our heads. I just want to give you some privacy. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And you can pray it quietly under your breath, or you can sort of repeat my words to God in your mind, or you can just say in your heart, God, that's what I'm praying to you right now. But I encourage you to be brave and take a step. God is here, and He wants to connect with you. So let's close our eyes, bow our head. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I want to experience connection with you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm inviting you to be mine right now. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. And live in me as my leader from now on. Come and fill my life with your Holy Spirit. I now depend completely on you. Amen. Lord, thank you that you loved us enough to enter our world. And you looked around. We feel cared for by you. Lord, I pray specifically for those that are struggling with situations that just feel too heavy for them. And maybe they feel isolated. Maybe they feel alone. God, would you just show up in some supernatural ways? I think of all the ways you've done that for me, even in the last few months, where you'd have to be a dummy to miss it. I mean, I just pray that over this congregation today, that you would, that they would absolutely feel seen and cared for by you. Thank you that you showed us how to be human. You showed us how to order our lives around the truly important. And some of us may be feeling conviction there of ways to actually enter into our neighborhoods with your presence, Lord. Thank you for making a home for us where we're safe and secure. Thank you that there's nothing we have to do to perform for you. There's nothing we have to clean up in order to be with you. Your presence, just your refining fire, takes care of things, and we just are so loved and accepted. And God, I pray that out of that place, you would send us out so we could be agents of hope and love and peace and grace wherever we walk this Advent. Pray that you'd help us to grow in our awareness of you throughout this Christmas season. And we all said, amen, amen.